So we're coming to the conclusion of John 6, all about the Eucharist. And we're coming to the dramatic conclusion, because Jesus kind of goes along step by step trying to bring along his followers. And in the proverb, we see a way to prepare. To the one who lacks understanding, wisdom says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. And remember, in Corinthians, Paul says the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. Remember, Eucharist, Thanksgiving. We see in the 17th Sunday, the multiplication of the loaves, the physical bread, the physical eating of food. Not much really talking about spiritual. And the multiplication of the loaves, which is hinting at something spiritually going on here. Then in the 18th Sunday, Jesus says, do not work for food that perishes. Because remember, all this is going to go away. It's the spiritual that is preeminent. And so he points that out to them, that he is the bread of life, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. That Jesus fulfills our spiritual need. That's what he's pointing to. That's what he's trying to lead his followers to. Then on the 19th Sunday, the Jews murmured, because the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Again, focusing on the spiritual. But they know something's up. Something's really challenging them. And so finally, today, Jesus makes his radical statement. And of course, I mean, this was pretty radical, wasn't it? Even for us, it's hard. He equates his flesh to bread, bread that is living and gives life. He mentions flesh 7 times throughout the whole chapter, John 6. And to heighten how dramatic this is and what Jesus is asking us to believe, he uses the Greek word phago, which means to consume a meal. He's talking about himself as being part of a meal to them. And after they're like, shocked, what's going on here? This is crazy. Then he uses another word, trago, which means to gnaw, crunch, to chew on, as when we eat raw vegetables or like cattle grazing on grass. And he mentions blood 4 times. He's talking about the blood, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. He's pointing to the whole spiritual aspect of what he has come to give us. To give himself and what he gives us here in the Eucharist. There are those who would say, oh, it's just symbol, right? Protestants, that's one of their tenets. And many others who would just say it's symbolic. But then why is this so dramatic? No, he is saying this literally. He means it literally. And he wants to be with us because he promised. Remember, when he arose, before he ascended, he said, I will be with you always. He is with us always in the Eucharist. He's also with us spiritually day by day. And I'm cheating a little bit to next week, because what do the disciples respond with? This saying is hard. They're probably saying, this is crazy. Who can accept it? And what do? They run off. They leave. They stop following Jesus. And the amazing thing is, in terms of, we know Peter and the apostles have been given special grace, but Jesus says to them, do you also want to leave? And Simon Peter answered, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. we have come to believe. What do you believe? And are convinced you are the Holy One of God. So just as we need natural food to sustain our bodies physically, we need supernatural food to sustain us spiritually in our supernatural life. And Christ is that food. The Eucharist is the source and summit of Christian life on earth. It keeps us going towards salvation. It gives us the strength and grace to go on and to keep seeking the end with Jesus in spite of the difficulties. It's an anchor for our spiritual and moral life. It holds us together as a people. But if we let go, we'll drift off, and who knows what'll happen. And in this scandal, we see what has happened to some. And as Paul points out, the days are evil. But he points out we also need to overcome our ignorance. We need to listen to what the church is teaching us so that we can know what his plan and will is for us. We have to give thanks always. And when we're talking about these difficult situations, it's really hard. But we can be thankful always for Jesus, for what he's done, for what he's giving us, his body and blood. But if you read statistics about the church, there's a lot of people who say they're Catholic but don't really believe this is the body and blood. So I'm challenging you to think about that. What do you really believe? The Catechism says the Eucharist and Mass should be celebrated worthily in faith. Faith. When you come to receive Jesus, you're to believe that it is the body and blood. Whatever you see, taste, in faith, it is the body and blood. Nevertheless, the fruits of the sacraments also depend on the disposition of the one who receives them. If you're not receiving in faith, why are you coming up? I'm challenging you on that. The church affirms that for believers, the sacraments of the new covenant are necessary for salvation, because the Spirit, using the sacraments, heals and transforms those who receive them by conforming them, you and me, to the Son of God. Now, Pope St. John Paul II wrote an encyclical on the Eucharist and its relationship to the church. And he says it very forcefully in paragraph 38. It is not possible to give communion to a person who is not baptized or to one who rejects the full truth of the faith regarding the Eucharistic mystery. Christ is the truth, and he bears witness to the truth. He does not lie. So if you don't really believe and you're coming up, I think you should examine yourself on that and seek help from the priests, somebody you know who's very spiritual, one of the deacons, to talk about it. What do you hunger for? Do you hunger for the worldly things, the fleshly things, or for the spiritual? Now, Father Wilson has written a letter, and the bishop has written a letter about the never-ending scandal, it seems like, never-ending. So I wanted to add my voice, because I'm the father of 7 living children, 4 girls, 3 boys, and 13 grandchildren. So this is a big issue for me. One I've struggled with, like many of you probably. This is evil. And Archbishop Chaput, one of my favorite archbishops, talked about the fact that when we respond to these things, some of us may respond in rage. And I got to tell you, there's a part of me that wants to. But I realize, no, Jesus would not want that. But to be angry is the right response. I've personally known a priest who was an abuser and is now in jail, thankfully.